Welcome to episode 17 of Edges and Sledges. Big one today, just 1 hour before the third India versus England T20. So as always, I'm Varun. I'm based in Singapore. My co-blogger Ashwin's in Toronto. We've got DJ based in London, but in Cardiff today. He watched the second one live. And we've got DJ's friend as well, Vikram, who's based in Delhi. So hi, Vikram. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your cricket journey. Are you as big a fan as the three of us? How's it been like? Are you into cricket?
Yeah, I'd like to believe so. Like any average Indian young guy growing up, I've played a fair bit of cricket. I've watched a lot of cricket. I'm also crazy enough to travel across the world for cricket. I also came to Cardiff for this match.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been good. Quite excited.
Yeah, we're currently sitting in a hotel in Cardiff at the moment. I'm even wearing my India jersey.
That's unwashed, right? So Vikram, I feel bad for you.
No, I had mine as well, but it just got more dirty. DJ was sitting proper, and I was the one cheering. So
yeah, I was okay. Sitting like really peacefully, man. And it's brand new, so
yeah. But tell us, Vikram, just an interesting perspective from somebody who lives in India. Like, three of us, of course, live outside. Anything to do with cricket, we try to kind of be on the ball. I think it's not so much in our face. It's not in the news. It's not that much in the newspapers we read. Honestly, I think I follow more cricket through Instagram and what the cricketers are eating and who they're marrying and dating and stuff through Instagram. But from your perspective, living through it, 2 months of IPL, India-England series 2 months after that. What is it like? I mean, what is it like being somebody who watches cricket in India?
Right. Yeah, it's great. There's both sides to it. It's great because there's some cricket that's always on. If it's not live, it's recorded shows, recorded matches, which are always playing 24 hours on TV. And there's now a lot more talk on selection, on the lives of cricketers, on fitness. Recently, there was so much hype about the yo-yo. Well, I don't know if it's a hype really, but whether the yo-yo test is a good or accurate test because it's used by basketball players, whether that should be applied in India. And the general public is getting involved in all of this. So the flip side is that a lot of people have started to lose interest in, say, the IPL because now there's so many matches. There's two matches per team. You don't really know what's live, what's not anymore. So there's always cricket that's on. So, but for cricket fans like us, any cricket is great. Another thing that it does is that a lot of people, see, it gives a lot of data, right? And a lot of people are interested with this data analysis, and that enables the teams to prepare better. That enables people to know cricket much better. That enables the staff selection team and all of that to just have the analysis in place. So every bowler for a left-hander batsman or a right-hander, which country, which kind of pitch, they have all the kind of data. So that is also happening because there's always cricket going on. And, you know, going on from there, you have spinners who become predictable in a year because there's so much analysis that's on. And the good side to that is that even people like us or people who don't play that regularly anymore, they understand what's happening. So it's great. It's exciting to be a cricket fan in India. And of course, there are two religions in India, aren't there? There's cricket and Bollywood. And when both of them match, there are sort of stories and gossip going around. So it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. That's pretty good. In fact, you mentioned about the analysis. That's very interesting. I saw a video somewhere that England has actually got a bowling machine that kind of mimics Kuldeep Yadav's bowling. Because they've got Merlin, is it? Okay. Merlin Yadav. We'll call him Merlin Yadav.
Merlin Yadav.
Yeah, but I think that's interesting. The other point that was interesting you mentioned, it's always on TV. So yeah, I have 10 sports and Star Cricket always on. And what I love about the channel is there's one show, and I've told Ashwin and DJ about this before. It's called India Glorious.
Yeah. I see it all the time.
Even I see it all the time. But what I love about it is just before they go into the ads break for India Glorious, they make it sound like, can India recover from this two-wicket early situation?
It's real time, right?
Can India win this game? See you soon on India Glorious. And it's like, this is the best show ever, because they try to create suspense. But yeah, interesting. Fair point. I mean, I also get a lot of feedback that the IPL is too much. I also know people who live in Singapore who just say IPL is kind of the best time of the year. So it's a good mix and balance.
How much cricket channels are there now on Sony, like six. There's a Hindi one, there's an English one.
HD one. Yeah.
Sky One and Sky One HD play the same thing when they're playing. It's just one is in HD and one is not. But in India, like all of them seem to be playing different games. And I was watching Yuvraj Singh smash England around from 2002. I was like, dude, I haven't seen this except on YouTube. But it's like, it's basically, I think Sony is just an amazing channel. Landed in India and Karan Arjun was playing. Just like, dude, this is like being a kid again.
Awesome. Dude, but it's been playing for the last 15 years every Sunday.
Yeah. Every fifth day.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on to talk a little bit about cricket in the week. So very quickly, there have been a couple of big games before we get to India-England. There's the Pakistan, Zimbabwe and Australia tri-series. And in fact, the match literally finished 15 minutes ago. And Pakistan, like the Champions Trophy final, I think they pulled it off. I didn't expect them to win, to be honest. They lost two wickets in the first over, chasing a score of about 187. Glenn Maxwell picked up two wickets. And then the same guy who scored a century against India in the final, Fakhar.
Yeah.
He kind of came out. Fakhar. He kind of came out and did really well for them. I think scored 90-something. Sarfaraz, of course, got run out again, as per usual. But Shoaib Malik was there. So interesting series. I think the one thing I wanted to call out is Aaron Finch, right? I think he hit 172, which is, I think, fastest 100. In that game, they were 223 when they lost the first wicket. And I think he was 172 and Darcy Short was probably 46. So just a quick question on Aaron Finch, Ashwin. Do you think this is his time? I mean, the two out of the top three are not playing for Australia. I somehow always felt he's really good. And I don't know, maybe he's the Ajinkya Rahane of Australian cricket, playing everywhere in the order. But any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yes, it is his time. But I think it's also worth remembering he hit the record for the highest T20, the biggest T20 century, bettering his own record. Sorry, T20 international century. Bettering his own record. So he had it already, right? So sometimes I think we take Finch for granted. I think it's his inconsistency that lets him down. But to your point, like, I've been 45 minutes away from my home in Toronto. Smith and Warner have been playing for the past week and a half, and I've seen Warner make five back-to-back single-digit scores. So I think, you know, it may remain to be seen whether even at the end of the 12-month ban, if Warner gets his shot back in the side, or with all the struggles going on in the top order, Finch can cement his place. And I think 100% this is Finch's time, and he knew it. He knew he had to step up, and maybe it's against weaker opposition, but, you know, that is what it is. Everybody's got some stat padding done against weaker opposition. I think credit to him for stepping up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it was interesting because I also read online this week that I think Cricket Australia very clearly said that we're not going to shorten Smith and Warner's 12-month ban, because there was talk of them, you know, having taken it so graciously, taken it so well. But that was interesting because I think three of us had discussed before the India series in December, they might be back. Still yet, remains to be seen. But as of now, Cricket Australia said it will stay for the 12 months. All right. So moving on to the next big game, Bangladesh versus West Indies. So won't go through too much detail here, but the only one thing I wanted to call out is when the match actually took place, a friend of mine messaged saying that I didn't know a Bangladesh-West Indies T20 is going on. Because he basically logged in, saw Bangladesh 43 all out in 19.1 overs, and he was really disappointed that in a T20 game they hit only 43. I think an hour later he found out it was a test match, and he just kind of lost his cool there. And I think it comes back to the debate that, you know, are the top five teams in cricket playing on a different level, and the bottom five teams, you know, 43 all out in a test match for Bangladesh, it's a test playing nation, kind of not acceptable. But West Indies won that by an innings and 219 runs. However, even Jason Holder did say that he expects Bangladesh to come back strongly. So, yeah, let's see. Next week, we'll probably cover the second test of that.
Hey, well, I just want to stop you there for a second. When you said the big game of the win, another big game, I was like, it's Bangladesh West Indies the next week.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to set it up, man. For the
like, no one, I'm pretty sure apart from the 43 not out, no one would have, like, an all out, no one would have even known this game is on.
Yeah, but that's why when the 43 and 19.1 came, it was very confusing.
Yeah.
Actually, even 43 is not even Bangladesh's lowest test score, which is pretty
sad. What?
Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
What a stat.
I don't have a 37. There it is. Vikram comes with the stat. But it's not 43. They did better than their lowest.
Are you kidding me?
pretty difficult.
Yeah, so I guess it's progress, man.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I think the thing I'm most excited about is if you watch the highlights of the videos, the West Indies fast bowlers are like from the 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, these young guys, Jason Holder, one of the senior folks on the team was saying, there's a crop of about 15 West Indies fast bowlers to choose from. And the way Roach and Gabriel, yeah, they're not young, but the way they stepped up. I mean, I'm hopeful for the sake of the game that, you know, we come back to a day where West Indies has four phenomenal quicks who people are scared to face. It's just exciting to see that. Now, it's hard to say if Bangladesh is the right benchmark, but it was nice to see.
Yeah, on that, in the Canada T20, I was watching Tino Best bowl to one of the young West Indian the junior West Indian team. And Tino Best is 37, and he hasn't made it back to the team. And he was bowling, like, super quick. He was bowling at 148 and stuff. He's 37. I mean, fantastic.
Yeah.
And he hasn't back, so hopefully better days on the horizon for the West Indies team.
I mean,
when
I was at the T20 games, Fidel Edwards got man of the match. He bowled four overs, one maiden, four wickets for 8 runs.
Sorry, it wasn't Tino Best, it was Fidel Edwards.
That's who you're talking about. I mean, just it was a phenomenal spell of bowling, and he was bowling against, I think, Gail, Russell. It was not an easy lineup to bowl against, but he just bowled phenomenally. So, yeah.
So, this was part of the cricket always on in India. Like, you turn it on at any time of night, there's a live match playing somewhere. Awesome. So I was watching that last week. Anyway, let's carry on.
Awesome. Okay. And then lastly, before we move to India England, sorry, I just want to talk about this a little bit, is the India A tri-series in England. And India ended up winning, just to give everyone a quick summary. So there were three teams playing. They played against each other twice. India and England both lost to each other once. West Indies A could not win a single game. And in the final, India A beat the England A team. Rishabh Pant, I think, at 64. Again, proving that, you know, kind of he's I think playing overseas is crucial for him. So I'm glad that he was able to come out and play a match-winning knock. But the other thing I know that's interesting is Mayank Agarwal scored two back-to-back centuries after a terrible, terrible IPL. And before the IPL, everyone was talking about his domestic season. During the IPL, every game he went out, people talked about his form and the domestic season, but he just couldn't perform. But hey, two back-to-back centuries is not too bad.
Phenomenal series, I think, especially the comeback. You know, these guys were falling. The India team had fallen behind pretty badly. And the incredible comeback led by Shaw. I mean, Shaw, some people were saying Shaw's knock looked, in the latest game, looked like an ODI or a T20 knock even. I mean, he was hitting boundaries like nobody's business. So I think really, really exciting. Dravid's obviously doing great things with those kids.
Yeah, I mean, and Shaw hit 188, man. So
less balls, right? Of 160-something
balls. Oh, 169. Yeah. 169 balls. Yeah, so yeah. I think good for the future of Indian cricket. But talking about Indian cricket, let's get straight into the T20 series. Two matches have happened. It's 1-1. Ashwin, do you want to take us through the first one?
Yeah, I'll just quickly wrap it up. So after much hype, these are the number 3 and 4 T20 teams in the world, but the number 1 and 2 ODI sides in the world, which is interesting for the ODI series coming up. England batted in the first match. Butler continued his phenomenal form. So they actually got off to a really, really strong start, losing the first wicket for 50 runs within the power play. And then they were 95 for 2 in about 11 overs. So looked really well on pace for 200-ish. And then, of course, as has been much in the news, our left-arm wrist spinner Kuldeep Yadav came in, picked up 5 for 24, and just stole the game away from them before Rahul came in, cemented his spot, I think, in the T20 side. We've spoken a lot about where Rahul should bat, should he play at all. And he hit this beautiful century. You could see by way of his century celebration just how much this meant to him. And he spoke after the game about how it was one of his most emotional, most passionate knocks, right? And I think we were messaging each other. Some of the shots were just, you know, like he had no business hitting such some shots that looked so clinically perfect and still went for 6. So just, I mean, it was all about the two young players, Kuldeep and Rahul. Match finished, you know, pretty tame ending, nothing overly exciting. And you know, DJ will talk about the second match. But after the first match, all the talk was about, you know, is England overhyped because they've been playing poor oppositions? This was less than 10 days after they beat Australia 6-0. And here comes this young Indian side and blows it out of the park. So really strong result for the Indian team. Good cricket all around. But I think exactly what we discussed, I think it was exactly a week ago, is, hey, England side is good, England batting is strong, but can they play spin? And the answer in the first T20 was no. But then we saw what happened in the second.
And it was really interesting because I couldn't see the game. It was too late for me. But I logged on and saw the highlights. And I think those two balls from Kuldeep Yadav to Bairstow and Joe Root were just incredible. I mean, those guys had no idea what was happening. They were playing early. I think the ball went through them. There was enough time for Dhoni to even not collect the ball properly and still get a stumping. That's how much of kind of no clue they had, right? So it was quite amazing. So DJ, anything you want to add on that and talk about the second T20?
No, I think the first game was great. It was just the two things we talked about last week. Rahul being one of the key players and Kuldeep Yadav even maybe playing the test matches as one of the mystery, well, wrist spinners. So Vikram and I came to Cardiff to watch the second T20 with high hopes. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out as well. India lost the game, but I mean, there were a few interesting moments. There, one, Shikhar Dhawan dropped his bat and got out, run out quite comically. Obviously, Rohit Sharma got out quickly, which personally I quite enjoy because I don't like him. I don't rate him. And I'm tired of watching him bat because he's always batting when I watch a game. And then Kohli and Rahul, that was when we thought that kind of India is going to kick on and stuff. Rahul got out hitting quite a strange shot after his usual. I mean, he didn't hit a single shot backing away in that 100. Just playing kind of classical drives and stuff. And then it was a really strange shot that came out of the blue. I mean, the only kind of cheer we had in the first seat, in the first part of the innings was when it was the last over. MS Dhoni taking 22 runs off the last over. And that was, I mean, great to watch and stuff. And then obviously the English guys have been doing their homework on Kuldeep and Chahal, where I think they just went after them and they had the right people to do that. Morgan was really good against them. Alex Hales played a great innings.
Yeah.
I kind of kept his head. And so that's showing us that Butler, Hales, all these guys are kind of being able to finish games for England. And I mean, it's set up beautifully for the third T20, which starts in what, 45 minutes to half an hour. And it's going to be a crunch game. The first set of bragging rights will be with whoever wins that game. So I don't know, Vikram, whether you had anything to add to that.
Not really to the second match. Maybe perhaps the fielding a bit. Shikhar Dhawan's catch was really good. So that
right
was
in front of us.
Yeah, that was right in front of us. And that was a high point for us. Also, the fact that our score wasn't that much, but they still won in the last over. So that means that we still had the bowling to sort of restrict them towards the end. So that's a slight positive for us. But then the fact that they could read Chahal and Kuldeep Yadav maybe is sort of not such a good signal. So let's hope these wrist spinners, like someone like Rashid, can also, you know, have some new variations and constantly innovate. So maybe we can have hopes on that account.
Yeah, but great atmosphere at the ground. Yeah. Huh? The English supporters were out in full, and the Indians were obviously always there. All fireworks going off. And I don't think I've watched a T20 game in England before. I watched one day games and test matches. So this was quite a great atmosphere. I mean, everyone was having a good time. We were all in good spirit. And not a great result for us. What about Kohli dropping a catch at mid-off?
Yeah, that was a simple one.
Yeah.
But that said, I think he got one three or four balls after. Not that that's an excuse to drop the first one. But yeah, that was maybe just the situation got to him. Or at times you just drop sitters. Happens to everybody.
And then he celebrated like he like scored a World Cup winning goal. He just like took an easy catch. Anyway.
Yeah, maybe you guys have spoken about this already. But I've always wondered if MS Dhoni should bat a little up. I'm not sure. I just think that now since he's freer and he's already had a good season. But then that would be on the cost of these younger players who you're probably grooming for the long term. But I personally feel that Dhoni should bat at four. And I don't know how, you know, the rest of it falls in because I think Kohli is ideal for three, but then Rahul is also really good. But Dhoni, I think not lower than four or five, maybe even before Raina. But then Raina doesn't get the number of balls he needs. That's something that I've always had in my mind, that Dhoni should definitely now be slightly higher up.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think we've debated the lineup a lot on this show. And I think while you were describing it as yourself, you'll probably realize there is no answer. Right?
Yeah,
because there's too many variations. There are too many people who are ready to play in many positions, which is a good thing. But I think what you last said is, I don't know if it makes sense to play Dhoni up the order for the future of Indian cricket. I also think you probably need somebody to bat with Pandya and Raina in the last 20 of an ODI game. So that's where it becomes interesting. But just two quick points, right, as we wrap up this section. One, I think Kuldeep and Chahal, yes, they need to innovate. They need to keep getting variations because teams will figure them out. There's a year to go for the World Cup. DJ, I don't know if you remember, but even in the pink ODI that we saw, it was either ODI number 3 or 4 of the South Africa series, Chahal and Kuldeep were just taken to the cleaners. AV was hitting sixes of them. Klassen was kind of hitting them out. I think even, I'm bad with names, but even one of their bowling all-rounders came out and cleaned Chahal and Kuldeep. So, yes, unless they innovate fast enough, they are going to get found out. So they need to keep doing that. The second point I also want to make is, yes, Rahul has come at the expense of Kohli at number 3. It may not be the right move. I mean, I was telling Ashwin, right, as I was watching the highlights, I had goosebumps when the commentator said, Rahul walking into 3 for India, right? I actually looked up at the screen to see if Dravid was walking in. But it sounded good. It sounded familiar. But I think the point for me is, I think as cricket lovers, we need to be sure that Rahul deserves that spot. It's early. We need to groom him. We need to give him the chance. I also think we need to define his role a little bit. If you're going to play him at number 3, then tell him you're going to play at number 3 for the next year and allow him to do that. If you're going to play him at 4, again, give him the heads up, right? Everyone needs to be known their role. The last point is, you know, Shikhar and Rohit have done enough over the last 5 years to kind of cement their place. Rahul has not. So Rahul needs to be given enough chance, but Rahul needs to take it very seriously as well.
I think Raina needs, if he's not bowling, as you said in last week's show, he just has to be, he has to be gone.
Yeah.
Either Krunal Pandya bowls and bats, I mean, he's going to give you the same runs that Raina will give you, probably more. I don't know. Pandya is a good bat, left-handed. Or Karthik plays. I mean, he's not adding anything to the side, in my view.
Yeah, he's not adding anything. It's that short ball issue. It's England pacers know how to kind of get to him.
Yeah.
So Raina needs to go fast. Karthik needs to come in. And again, right, when Karthik comes in and India is 32 for 3 in 4 overs, yes, there is a little solidarity in the batting order. You've got guys like Karthik and Kohli then to bat. So Raina's getting the runs. It's ugly runs, there's really no place for him in the team. And I hope, we won't talk about the ODIs today, but I hope that Karthik gets a chance in the ODIs and that India can kind of find their number 4 and 5 that we've been talking about.
Yeah. So just one more player. I remember back, I think last year or last year when India was touring Australia, and the final ODI when Manish Pandey scored that 100, that was when I thought that, you know, we've got our younger Raina version back. And then there were high expectations. He had a decent IPL run, but not this year. So that's also one player that I think India can groom and look out for, because he has, I think he has the potential to perform that role under pressure as well. He doesn't bowl, but he's a good bat and good fielder as well. So
my right wicket, the only thing, and I like Manish Pandey, except for this year's IPL, where I constantly picked him in my fantasy team and he let me down. But I think the only thing Manish Pandey has going for him is that he's a specialist lower order bat, or middle to lower order bat. And that's our problem. Yeah. And that's honestly the problem with the England side too, we've talked about on this show. It is 6 top order batsmen trying to figure out where they play. Yeah. And Raina, to an extent, is a specialist 5. In ODIs or T20s and limited overs, if you want him to be, but he's batted at 3-2. So I think Pandey can slot it. That's why I love Karthik for this side. Right? He's wanted to play at 5 or 6. You've Raj and these guys used to play dedicated 5 or 6. We cannot keep having openers who we just force fit into 5 or 6.
Yeah. And I mean, Raina's also struggled because of the size of the grounds here. They've been two very big grounds, so he hasn't been able to clear the rope as consistently as he would.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. But I mean, he also has hit, I think, 60-odd or something, right? So, yeah, I think the reality is he shouldn't play. Karthik should play. Manish Pandey, yes. I think the next 3 to 4 years, right? Yeah. That's the right approach. The next 12 months, I don't think so. But I think you've got your team. You just have to decide who's going to play and give them their defined role.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move to the last section. Ashwin, do you want to take us through your quiz? I think we should call you Derek O'Brien now.
Yeah, maybe that's my new title. But you were actually on the show, weren't you? On his show as a child.
Yeah.
Did you do any...
DJ, you don't remember? He was from Vasant Valley's rep on Bonvita, man.
I was on the show and Rohan actually saw it. No, there is no clip. Everything has been deleted from
there's
like
a clip. There's a clip. My dad will have it. We'll find it and send it to the.
No!
Okay, on that happy note. So last week, for our listeners, some of us, we debuted a quiz segment and we got some pretty positive feedback. So I'm going to try to recreate that, and over time, maybe we'll juggle who does the hosting responsibilities. So this week, the format's a little bit different. Think of it, you know, the question, there's no way anybody's going to get the answer correct. But think of it as an MBA consulting type style question where I'm going to ask you a question and you guys got to go closest, give me a number, and the closest to the right answer wins, okay? So there's three questions. The first one, and I'm going to go person by person. DJ, I'm going to start with you because you had an unfair advantage last week, so you get the disadvantage of going first this week.
I'm also the defending champion of the size of the legend.
DJ is a cheater.
Okay, the question is...
One answer, DJ.
Answer. Okay, no.
Why are you so upset, man? It happens sometimes. You have to lose. Kuch haarne ke liye kuch jeetna padta.
Okay.
Okay.
The question is, if I list the top 10 test run scorers of all time, what is the cumulative number of runs they've all scored combined? Top 10 run scorers. No Googling allowed, obviously. So think about it for a few seconds. You got to give me a number, and whoever I'm going to write
cumulative test runs.
Cumulative test runs. So number of runs in the career for the top 10 run scorers combined. And I'm watching you guys. If anybody takes out a laptop or phone to Google, no cheating. And the format is just closest wins. So I'm writing down all three of your scores. DJ, I'm going to give you 10 more seconds, and then you got to spit out again.
Okay.
Same question will be for ODIs and T20s. And then I have some tiebreakers.
165,000.
Exactly 165,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Your guess is locked.
There's no
top 10 test scorers, right?
Top 10 test scorers combined.
That's like 165,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be an average of 16,000 runs each for the top 10. Vikram, let's come to you. Your guess.
No,
I said it's locked. No cheating. It's locked.
The highest run scorer ever has got 15,000.
I'm just saying, Vikram.
Yeah, Vikram. But your average is 16,000 in my turn.
16,500. Okay, Vikram, let's come to you.
It's going to be like 120.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No cheating.
Yeah, fine.
Vikram, your guess.
So yeah, I'll go with 1,10,000. 1,10,512.
110,512. All right, and Varun, your guess.
I go with 125.
125,000.
Yeah,
so the correct.
Just say some random stuff. Good.
Yeah, seriously.
Some random digits at the end.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter at this point because DJ was off by 38,000 runs, which takes a feat of its own to do. So I think we're stripping you of legend status. The correct answer was 127,229. So Varun was right on the money. 127,000.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, I mean,
my maths is bad, man.
Vikram was
because
not
of
bad.
Our tutor, Mr. T.C. Yadav, didn't teach me multiplication. He taught me differentiation and integration.
But this was basic classics average, my friend.
P and Q.
Okay. So, point to Varun for 125,000. Same question. Yeah. Top 10 ODI run scorers. Varun, we start with you because you won the previous round.
Top 10 ODI run scorers.
Combined.
I'll say 115,000.
Okay. DJ, let's come to you.
117,777.
Is that 1.1 million?
117,000.
I think you said 77. Yeah, got it.
Is that bad?
And Vikram, let's go to you.
I'll go with 17,000 is Sachin. So I'll go with like 120.
120. All right. This one actually goes to Vikram. The correct answer is 128,000.
Wow.
So just
so we under.
I actually wanted to go for 130, but these guys are like 115. I was like, I'm not sure if I'll be off by
but
that.
But DJ guessed 165, so of course he's going to be off by that.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Correct answer 128, which was
15,000 into 10.
See, the ODI has to be more than the test because you have like that, and you have three Indians or four Indians above 10,000, and they're
Dravid Ganguly.
Yeah, and they're like 11,000. Sachin is 17, so it has to be. Yeah.
Sachin ended on 18-4, actually.
18-4. Oh, 18. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. Okay. Last question, and then I'm going to go to a quick tiebreaker question in case it gets there. But same question, but for T20s, and this is T20 internationals.
Oh, okay.
And Vikram, you won the round.
Not
including IPL, not including domestic, just T20 internationals, the cumulative highest score. The cumulative score of the top 10 run scorers combined.
I'll go with 25,000.
25,000. Varun, let's come to you.
I'll go with 37,000.
And DJ, let's come to you.
22,222.
2222. I hate to admit it, but DJ takes this one. The correct answer is 19,660.
Wow.
So completely contrasting.
Still in contention for the legend.
So we have a tie, which I kind of suspected would happen, which is why I came prepared. But each of you guys got one question right. So Vikram, well done for your first appearance on the show. Quickly, the tiebreaker question is of the 10 names on the top 10 test scorers list and the 10 names on the top 10 ODI scorers list, how many are in common? Okay, so DJ, since you got the last one correct, you're going to guess first. Top 10 test run scorers and top 10 ODI run scorers. How many are in common? Give me your number and then
Of all time.
Of all time, top 10 test run scorers and top 10 ODI run scorers. And my source is ESPN Cricinfo, so if you have dispute with the data, take it up with them.
I think it's 9.
9 players in common on both lists. Okay, Varun, let's come to you.
I'd say 6.
6. And Vikram?
7.
Oh, that's convenient. 6, 7.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go with 5 or 10, right? Yeah. It has to be
more. I think it's safe to say that DJ is out. I mean, that's safe to say.
I agree that DJ is out.
I think I can count 5 or 6, so I'm sure there's 1 or 2 more. So, 7, yeah.
So, before we answer it, let's count them out. Let's see if we can get collectively count them out.
Okay, I'll count the 5 I counted. Sachin.
Yeah.
Lara.
Yeah.
Kallis. Ponting.
Dravid. Ganguly.
Sanglakara.
Hold on. Dravid. DJ, you are eliminated because you said Ganguly and he's not on both lists.
So the correct answer 8 then?
Wait, hold on. I'm getting there. Sachin, Dravid, Kallis, Lara, Ponting. Those are the 5. And then you said Sangakkara, right?
Yeah.
Already 6.
Oh, shit.
So I'm giving this away, but you know, you guys have been hosts of a cricket show for 16 episodes, and our guest came on the show and won this round. The correct answer is 7. Between the two,
but
between my two co-hosts, if you guys can name the 7th, I'll give you guys up to 3 guesses each. So we had 6 guys in common: Tendulkar, Ponting, Dravid, Sangha. The correct answer was Jayawardene, but DJ again spoke out of turn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to dock him a point for that.
I gave it 3 times.
I didn't tell you I was...
I got it right.
Varun, you can redeem yourself if you can name 3 out of the guys that are not... or 3 out of the 6 names that were not on both lists.
Yuvraj Singh.
Alistair Cook is not one of the ODIs, guys. Alistair Cook is on the test.
How can Yuvraj...
Alistair Cook is on the test list. Yeah, that's 1.
Yeah, and not on the ODI.
Not on the ODI. Who are the other 5... players that were either on either list? DJ, you're not asking you yet. Go on.
Is ABD is 9,000 something, so yeah. Maybe on ODI he's the 10th person.
He is not. The 10th person on the ODI list is Lara with 10,400 runs.
Okay.
All right, guys. So Michael Clark is not on there. DJ, do you have a guess?
So this is
Do you have 4 guesses?
You're still not legend, bro.
Guys,
when you get to my stage, you'll get 4.
This episode was won by our special guest, Vikram. This is just you guys just try to redeem a little bit. So come on, we have 5 names left of people. 2 guys who are on the test list but not ODI, other than Cook. And 2 guys, 3 people who are on the ODI list, not on test.
Steve Waugh.
Nope, Steve Waugh.
No.
One or 2 more guesses and I'm going to give it away.
Michael Bevan.
No.
Also no.
Abhi yaar, uska average height
Okay, the 2 remaining guys, number 8 on the test list, is our man who we talked about before, who batted with his son, Shivnarayan Chandrapal. And number 10 on the list is a little bit old school, is Alan Border with 11,100 runs.
Follow Alan Border, yeah.
And then really. Number 4.
Come on, Gavaskar, dude. Come on.
He's 11th or 12th.
He just
got edged out. But I only copy-pasted the top 10, so I don't have the whole list in front of me.
Nice.
The four.
Good to know your methods.
Yeah, seriously. Number four on the ODI list is Varun can imitate his bowling action really well. Our man Sanath Jayasurya.
Yes. He's number four
on the ODI list. 13,400 runs. He played 445 matches, man. That's almost as much as.
And like 400 of those were against India, and 12,000 of those runs came against India. Also.
Basically. Number six with 11,700 runs is Inzamam ul Haq. And number eight, DJ mentioned earlier, is Dada Sourav Ganguly with 11,300. So he's not in the test list, but he was in the ODI. So guys, well played by all three of you, but Vikram takes our prize and nobody really...
Yeah, the prize is... you don't get anything.
The prize is bragging rights. You got to say you came on the show. And just before I hand it back to Varun, quickly, Siddharth Kaul and Deepak Chahar have both made their debut in the T20, are both entering the T20 Chahar's debut.
Okay.
Bhuvi's out and Kuldeep is missing out as well, interestingly. Must be something to do with the ground. And then it looks like Ben Stokes has made his entrance and he's actually slotted in for Joe Root, which is pretty fascinating to say. So that's just that the first ball is in 15 minutes. Varun, back to you.
Awesome. So lots happening. 10 minutes to go. Guys, tune in for the game. And of course, tune in next week. Listen to our podcast. Watch our show on Facebook. And I think next week we'll wrap up the T20 series, talk about the first two ODIs, and let's see how that goes. So all the best to India today. Thank you, guys.